Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm Sandy Toksvig, and this is We Will Get Past This, where I welcome you into my calm room of books, so I can share tales from history of various deeds. Some brave, some baffling, others downright idiotic, in a bid to comfort the soul in this challenging time we find ourselves in. Some of these were recorded with specific dates in mind, but as we've all come to realise, none of that kind of thing really matters. My diary's wide open. There are no rules about when something can be enjoyed, so take a moment to relax and remember this. We will get past this. Hello there, come on in. How nice to see you. If you are at home, I do hope your domestic life is an oasis of calm. Mostly mine is, although I freely confess that I sometimes need prodding to stop reading and notice the chores. The truth is, I would much rather travel the world in my library than, for example, unpack that bag at the foot of our stairs, which is full of things I brought home from my last theatre show 3 months ago. I look at the bag and think about the great American comedian Phyllis Diller, who once said, "Housework won't kill you, but then again, why take the chance?" I've been at home full-time for 2 months now, which I translate into approximately 180 opportunities to do the dishes. In the great scheme of things, this is unbelievably unimportant, but a person's breaking point is often over something trivial. I have been trying to persuade my wonderful partner that maybe occasionally we could leave the dishes and see what happens. Maybe a cleaning fairy will come along, or maybe by chance we will make an unexpected discovery. Let's not forget that the discovery of antibiotics only happened because Sir Alexander Fleming failed to wash up. So it was September 1928 and the great Scottish scientist had taken August off with his family. I mean, how nice. Before he left his lab to go, I don't know where they went, the beach or whatever, he had been studying a kind of bacteria called Staphylococcus, which is a nasty piece of work that can cause all manner of diseases. Anyway, old Alex was a genius, but not the tidiest of souls. He went on vacation and left behind some of this Staphy in a petri dish. When he got back, he discovered a blob of mould had grown on the unclean dish, and frankly, who hasn't had a coffee cup like that? All around the mould, there was no bacteria growing. He reasoned that something in it was killing the bacteria. This substance is what he later called penicillin. It was a chance discovery based on dirty dishes, and it led to a group of medicines called antibiotics, which have saved countless lives. Now, I'm not saying I could save lives by being a bit more slovenly, but I like allowing for the element of chance in my life. So I was looking in my Chambers Book of Days when I read an article for the 14th of May entitled Vaccination and Its Opponents. Chambers reminded me that it was on the 14th of May, 1796, that the immortal Edward Jenner conclusively established the important principles of vaccination. I have to say, I don't feel those few words cover what an odd story this is. Jenner had a theory that a person infected with a virus called cowpox might be immune to the very contagious and much worse disease called smallpox. On May the 14th, he tested this theory by scraping cowpox blisters off the hands of a milkmaid called Sarah Nelms, who had caught cowpox from a cow called Blossom. He then injected this stuff into the 8-year-old son of his gardener. Okay, I feel this is taking liberties with domestic stuff, and the gardener should have been furious. Fortunately, the boy survived, and the history of medicine was changed. We should thank the child, the gardener, and indeed Blossom the cow, who gave us the word vaccination, a word with which we are all so rightly obsessed at the moment. It comes from the Latin vacca, meaning cow. A quick sidebar, poor Blossom eventually died, of what history does not say, and her hide apparently now hangs on the wall of the St. George's Medical School Library in South London, which I think is the most fame anyone can hope for. Chambers goes on at length about Jenner and cowpox, but leaves out a very important name. I don't think anyone should mention vaccination without bringing into the spotlight a most glorious woman from history by the name of Lady Mary Wortley Montagu. So here is where chance is a curious thing. I had been reading this marvellous book, which is entitled Wayward Women. It's a book devoted to those women in history who took to travelling at a time when everyone thought the weaker sex really ought to just stay home in case they felt faint. There are about 400 fabulous, feisty females in this book who have in common not just that they journeyed, but that they wrote about it. Of these, Lady Mary Wortley Montagu is one of my favourites. So I had thought to mention her anyway this week because she was born on May 15th in 1689, so almost the same day of Jenner's inoculation, but more than 100 years earlier. What are the chances? But the main connection to Jenner is not the coincidental date, but the fact that without Lady Mary, Jenner might never have considered inoculating anyone. Lady Mary was born the eldest child of a duke. As she was extremely beautiful, and no doubt her parents saw a future for her in a well-arranged and hopefully profitable marriage. But Mary had other plans. She wrote in her diary, "I am going to write a history so uncommon." And so she did. For Mary would grow up to become a celebrated writer, an advocate for women's rights, and the person who introduced smallpox inoculation to England. From her diaries, we get the most wonderful images of this free-spirited child who loved to run across a meadow trying to catch the setting sun. Sadly, her mother died, and Mary was left to the care of an ill-equipped governess. Escaping this dreaded person, Mary said she stole her education from her father's library. Fortunately, her dad had one of the largest private libraries in England, no doubt helped by owning a large part of the country to keep it in. Mary read and wrote and taught herself Greek and Latin before in 1712 ignoring her father and eloping with a young man called Edward Wortley Montagu. Edward became a member of Parliament and Lady Mary became the toast of London. She was witty and she was gay, which in those days had a slightly different ring to it. She became friends with the glitterati, including the Prince and Princess of Wales. But sadly, she contracted smallpox, which left her great beauty scarred with pitted skin. In 1716, her husband was appointed ambassador to Turkey, and Mary shocked the world by deciding to go with him. It was a scandalous decision. Imagine a refined lady volunteering to go to the barbarous East. Mary loved it. Far from being a brutal society, she found Turkish women had more freedom than English ones. She learnt the language, she made friends, and most importantly, she allowed her two children to be engrafted with smallpox by a Turkish medicine woman. This was a kind of inoculation, and it worked. Lady M was soon telling everybody about it. People in London, frankly, not keen, partly because Mary was a woman, and so what would she know, and also because the procedure was, well, Turkish. Because she was well connected, on her return to Britain, she managed to get Caroline, Princess of Wales, to help promote the idea. This worked a treat, as there is nothing like a patronising royal to get things done. Without Mary's keenness on the subject, Edward Jenner's later pioneering smallpox vaccine might never have been accepted. Mary carried on travelling, spending more than 20 years in different European countries with a succession of lovers. She wrote about her journeys, encouraging other women that such a life might even be possible. Her Turkish letters remain fascinating. She was one of the first Westerners to publish an account of women's lives in the Orient. One of the things I love most about her, she didn't care what anybody thought about her. Far from being distressed by her pockmarked skin, when she was 69, she confessed she had not looked in a mirror for 11 years. There's a marvellous story about her going to the opera and being told that her hands were dirty, to which she replied, "You should see my feet." Her dying words are supposed to have been, "It has all been most interesting." At this time, the world should think of her. The search for a vaccination is a global focus, and we owe her a great deal. I think of her in my library. She once said, "No entertainment is so cheap as reading, nor any pleasure so lasting." It was chance that I thought of her today, chance that her birthday fell in the same week that Jenner made his great experiment. I like the unexpected, what used to be called happenstance. Without it, Fleming might never have found antibiotics. I know we all like to think there's a plan, but who knows what glorious accidental discovery may play a part in some lab, someplace, soon. I finally cleared out that bag of stuff at the bottom of the stairs. There was one book in it. It's called The Hinge Factor: How Chance and Stupidity Have Changed History. I mean, really, what are the chances? Take care. Be kind.
We will get past this, you know.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.